Welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast where powerful women rise, lead, and own the room. I'm Kimberly Borgens, your host, fellow trailblazer, and unapologetic advocate for women in the world of business. With over 30 years of experience building success in a male-dominant industry, I'm here to empower you to do the same. Each week, you'll hear bold conversations with inspiring guests who embody strength, resilience, a little dash of sass, and a little bit of grace. Together, we'll challenge the status quo, break through barriers, unlock your confidence, and unleash your inner superhero. You ready? Let's go. Hello, and welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast that fiercely empowers women to step into command presence, own their role, and lead like strong, capable women that they are. I'm your host, Kimberly Borgens, and today I'm joined by a woman who's bringing great value into the realm of retirement and your health needs, right? Like, I don't think you realize how important this topic is today. Look, she's not afraid to share the real talk about what it takes to be successful as a woman in business. And, you know, if you've ever felt like you've had to prove yourself twice as hard to get half as far, like, this is a great episode for you because our superhero guest today is Hollywood Gray. And let me tell you, this woman is a powerhouse. She is not only a powerhouse entrepreneur, she is a mother, she's a wife, she's a friend, she's a visionary leader, you know, redefining what it means to build wealth with purpose. I don't know about you, but I try to build wealth with purpose. And, you know, why she's a superhero in heels for us today is, look, she's got grit. Okay. And look, not many women bring forth that grit in themselves, but Holly does. And she does it with her faith backing it. She's a fierce competitor in her industry, but not only that, she has fierce commitment to helping other people rise up as well. So let me tell you, this is just a true gift to my heart to have Holly on this session with us. And we're excited to talk to her about, you know, leading with intention today, like really leading with the intention to be successful. So please welcome my guest today, Hollywood Gray. Holly, I'm so glad to have you here on our episode.
Thank you, Kimberly. I'm excited to be here.
Yay. So, you know, I want the audience to walk away with some powerful key pieces today. And so let's talk about some of the things that they could do. Like, confidence. You talked, I know you really help women step into confidence, you know, and the importance behind that. And you're going to talk to them about, you know, setting some clear goals, right? I know, look, everybody can be goal setters. Everybody talks about goal setting, but it's different to talk about women who are, you know, 6, 7, 8 figure women around goal setting. It's a different mindset. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And the thing about it, Kimberly, I think it's more about setting goals and achieving them rather than like goal achieving than goal setting.
Because I agree with you.
Goal setting doesn't really build your confidence, but goal achieving does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then setting the boundaries around that as well so that you can achieve those goals and why time management is important. So we're going to talk about all of those fun pieces today. So Holly, tell us a little bit about your journey. Tell us a little bit about how it is that you got to where you are today. And please tell people who you are and what is your business?
Yeah, absolutely. So my business is Women of Wealth and Appreciation Financial. So I started in the financial services many, many years ago, back in 2002. I started in the real estate industry. I was a mortgage broker. And I did that for a while. I was successful. I worked for a broker. I did that so I could do what I was passionate about, which was coaching volleyball, right? Mm. So coaching volleyball to me and playing volleyball has always been something that has been basically, I fell in love with volleyball when I was 14 and I haven't given up that love affair, even though I'm married. Talk about grit and building confidence. I think my athletic journey all the way up to starting a volleyball club when the recession hit back in 07, which was not the best time to start a nonprofit, I'll just say, really showed me a lot about how to have that confidence and grit. And I've always been the kind of person that can talk to the custodian or the CEO However, it's different when you're doing it because you feel like you belong in the room rather than you just are kind of dabbling on the outskirts of the room. And for me, I think every chance I took with my volleyball club, I was in a partnership with some professional athletes down in San Diego. We had a sports academy called the Gonzales Sports Academy, and we had our volleyball club in there, all the way to now being in a room with, you know, multi-million, even billion-dollar insurance carriers that are the CEOs, or they created these products. And really knowing that I belong in those rooms has really taken some time because, you know, when you first start out, for me anyway, I had a little bit of that imposter syndrome. I just showed up. I believed, you know, fake it till you make it. I don't believe that anymore, but I do believe that it did get me in the door. And now my business is really, I'm really in the business of helping women create wealth, whether that's through the choices that they make in their planning, their wealth planning, or they want to switch careers and they want to get into the wealth planning business. And they want somebody like me to be their mentor and the person who teaches them how to do that.
I love that. I love that. And you know, in my previous podcast guest also talked about that imposter syndrome, right? That little sneaky bugger just pops in sometimes. It doesn't matter how successful you are, or, you know, as you're still in that journey, it's going to show up every now and again. And how do we just say like, hey, I've got this, like, and keep moving forward. So I think, you know, that it's great because I know a lot of people are that, you know, they're going through that right now. So thank you for sharing that as well. So tell me about a little bit, you also work with your spouse, right? Yeah. So like myself, you work with your spouse. What kind of support is your husband in this journey of business with you? Because you're not just, you know, getting up and going to work all by yourself and coming home and then seeing your spouse at the end of the day. You two work together, you live and breathe and everything. You know, what I say is, you know, we live together, work together, play together, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, absolutely. How is that?
Well, the good news about the business that we're in is we don't actually work day to day together. Like, we're not going out and meeting with clients together. Very rarely that happens. Every now and then there'll be a husband wife couple and they want to meet with both of us, but that's very rare. Mostly what happens is we have our leadership team. You know, what happened was, like I mentioned, I started the volleyball club back when the recession hit in 07. And so in 2011, when I decided to close the volleyball club and shift into something else, my husband owned a successful construction company, although there was a recession that he was still coming out of. And, you know, he just told me, babe, if you could just make $1,000 a month, that would take the edge off. You know, that would make me not have to stress out so much. Well, done. I mean, that happened like overnight, basically. I mean, you know, our niche market that we've been helping at Appreciation Financial is educators. So we go in, we show the educators how their pension works, and then we have products to help them fill their income gap. Well, who did I work with at the volleyball club? Coaches, athletic directors. I ran all the programs for three different districts for 4 years, and I've been coaching in those districts for a long time. So then it got to, about 6 months in, I had a really big month. I made like $17,000. My husband's like, let's take a look at this comp plan. And so what was one of the best moments of my career happened in 2014. We had sat down and we had really planned out how to get my husband out of construction and into something else. Because we're older parents. I was 43 when I had my son. He was 41. And he wants to be able to throw the football with him and all that kind of stuff. And in construction, that's hard labor. He was doing labor. He was bending over every day to fix and do motors on gates that open and close, right? So my proudest moment is I retired him from that business and he came on full time with Appreciation in 2015. And since then, you know, we have, our income has grown, our business has grown, our relationship has grown. But the number one way that I think he supports me is he just listens without telling me what to do. He knows that I'm smart. He knows that I have it figured out. He knows that I don't really need him to do that. But the reason why it works for us is I let him do that. I let him tell me what he thinks. Not that I need him to, but, you know, and you and I talked about this a little bit. One of the things that I learned early on, because I didn't get married until I was later in life, is that if I want to be a badass in the, you know, in the room, in the boardroom, or in any room that I'm in, that's fine. But as soon as I walk through that door, I'm Bobby's wife and I need to act that way. I can't be the same person when I'm, you know, on a stage or talking about you know, life insurance or whatever the case might be, than I am whenever I walk through that door. So we have what's called veto power. He has what's called veto power. He's only used it a couple times. And honestly, he's only used it a couple times, but he's also the spiritual leader of our home. And, you know, the Bible says to submit to your husbands, and it's not exactly what most women think. It really means allow him to lead you, you know, allow him
power. Is that what you're doing, is choosing to allow your spouse to lead?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And you know what else I really love is, I know that, you know, moving into your, you know, jumping into another program and you're telling your husband about it. And I remember our conversation where you were saying, like, when he said, okay, that's fine, but here's what I need from you.
Yeah.
And I hear so often women in business say that my spouse doesn't support me. Well, a lot of times what happens is it's because spouses don't support what they don't know.
Right.
If you're not willing to communicate and share and be honest about why this thing that you want to do is important, and this thing that you want to do, yeah, it's going to cost money, but I'm paying for speed. And, you know, this it is. But a lot of times women they bounce from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing, and their spouse doesn't even know what to believe anymore. So it's not that they don't believe in you as the spouse. They just don't believe in the choices that you're making because of so much bouncing around. But your husband, you guys communicate in business and you're talking to each other and you're like, this is what I want to do. What do you need from me in order to be able to make this happen? Because a lot of times powerful woman is like, just get out of my way. I'm going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. But when you're working with your spouse, sometimes you have to go, okay, what does he need in this process?
Yeah. And that was exactly the question that I asked. What do you need so I can continue to do this program? These are the things that this program does for me, right? It gives me a group of women where I don't feel like I'm the strongest woman in the room, you know? I mean, there's not a lot of places where, you know, female CEOs go where they don't feel like they're the most powerful woman in the room, or that they can learn something from the people that they're surrounding themselves with. They always talk about, you know, the five people you surround yourself with, right? However, is it really the five, or is it really for women? That number could be 15. That number, you know, I mean, we're so great at building relationships that once we find those strong women that lift us up and don't try to compete against us or whatever, I want to be around them as much as possible.
Absolutely. So much so that we travel together. Right?
That's pretty great too. Yeah.
Still have fun and still work and still, like, look, Holly and I, we'll be honest here. Like, we went on a trip together that we just, this year, we went on an African safari. Yeah. And we were in the same Jeep, our husbands, with another couple and another gal. And here's what I noticed is, no matter where we went, we were always talking business, but in a familiar relationship way. Like, we're out having fun on a safari in a Jeep, and you're talking about structures in a business with somebody, right? Like, because that's just who we are at a core for as many years as we've been doing business.
Well, and the other thing I love about that too, Kimberly, is, like, I know your little bee thing, right? So I'm in the airport and I see, like, a little bee. It's like, I think it's a keychain, right? Was it a keychain? A keychain. And I'm like, oh, this is all Kimberly, right? It's like just little things like that. Not that I'm out looking for it, but when I see it, I know that this is something that Kimberly would like. I know this would put a smile on her face. I bet there's not too many people besides her husband or her family that get her little gifts or trinkets that just make her remember that she's a woman, you know, a powerful woman who does have bee attitudes. You know what I mean?
Who sometimes it feels like leaves a sting, but really creates honey for people.
Exactly. Well, I love that. There's a new country song. I think it's by Kane Brown, and he's talking about his little girl in the back seat. And part of it is, why did God put stingers on a honeybee? You know, she asked him all these questions. And I wondered about that too. Why did God put stingers on a honeybee?
It's their protection, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you know, you know, I just want to say that, you know, you do have grit and you are a powerhouse and you're constantly moving forward and you're bringing your spouse and your family with you in the process of moving forward. But let's go back to the people that you're serving. Is like, really, what are some of the biggest challenges that they're facing?
Yeah, so what I find most is most women who run businesses and also individual women that are looking ahead at their future, most of them don't really understand what they have. We've kind of put our head in the sand. A lot of women have put their head in their sand around their finances. And so many people think that the life insurance that they have through their work will be enough for them. And that's usually not the case. You know, we look at a lot of different factors when we're coming up with the amount that you need for life insurance. And I mean, I lived this. When I was 21, I was at Arkansas State. My dad passed away and they didn't have any life insurance in place. And my mom had 2.5 weeks to get out of the house she was living in, you know, because they were renting a place and she had to move. And, you know, that's what life insurance does for families. It never brings back the person, but it does give you options and it gives you choices to make that can be not knee-jerk, not reactive, but, you know, you can really have some thoughtful conversations with your spouse around it. And the other thing is, I don't think women understand how retirement works. Most women, whether that's business owners or, you know, someone who's working for someone. You know, my number one tip for people who are in a 9-to-5, a W-2 employee, is if your company does a match, match it up to the match, and then maybe do something else other than that. But that is free money that they're giving you every single month just for contributing to their retirement account, their 401k. So match that every single time, because that's free money for you, for your retirement.
Exactly. We have employees on our 401k as well. And I'm like, very few of them are willing to even max that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and I hear what you said. I once had a life insurance agent said that life insurance is the love letter that he's giving to his family after he leaves.
Exactly.
It's taking care of them when they're gone. And so I think it's huge. Life insurance is just one piece of retirement. Look, I know we just went through my mom, God bless her. My mom didn't have anything. Okay. She lived off of Social Security, which wasn't a lot. Luckily, you know, she sold a house that she got good money for and was able to purchase a smaller house. And so she was set for the house thing. And so she bought this life insurance policy, thinking to herself that at least when I die, my daughters will get something from me. That was her mindset, right? Mm-hmm. And so she paid into this term life insurance, right, for years and years and years. And in her final stages of life, like she ended up, we had to on Medicare, she went into a care home and they wouldn't let her keep her life insurance policy. Right.
Yeah.
And so the life insurance policy had to be, cashed out, which was just enough for her funeral services. Right. That is not the way to live, you know, and I know because, you know, I watched my mom go through this and I know what I'm not going to do. Right. Yeah. And I think that people misunderstand the value of the right life insurance policy.
Well, as well multiple.
What those needs really are in the future. Like, are you taking into account
long-term care
living goes up? Taxes go up, all these other things go up, and you have to keep reevaluating that, right?
Yeah. Every year, I mean, I recommend people get with their financial people, all of them. And you should, in my opinion, you shouldn't just have one. We have multiple. Even though my husband's a financial advisor, we have another financial advisor who's on our team for our personal business, because sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you can't see the trees from the forest, right? You got to understand life insurance too. There's life insurance with living benefits. It's called, one of the slogans is you don't have to die to use it. Great. But it's not long-term care.
Right.
It's not for a care, a facility. So, you know, there's cancer policies, but you have to make sure that that covers everything that you might want to do with, you know, these are things as we get older, we have to start thinking about.
Yeah,
we have baby boomers turning, you know, 65 every day for the next 15, 20 years, right? It's like, these are the things that we need to make sure that we have talked about with our family, because I've gone the other route where we didn't talk about it. And it's not very fun to make decisions for people. I mean, my dad ended up in a casket. There's no way in this world that he would have actually purchased that for himself. you know, my uncle made the decision on it, fine, but there's no way he would have purchased that for himself. I just know.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't it true that most people will come to you when it's too late?
Yes.
Make the change.
That does happen. I mean, you can't call me from the hospital and tell me you want life insurance now, right before you get away, go in and have heart surgery. That has happened. I've had it happen. And so has my husband. You know, if you're young and healthy, that's the best time to plan. You need to understand that there's a reason for term policy. Term policy is like car insurance. You pay for it, you have it. Permanent insurance, usually you can get that at any time, but that's going to be something that is either whole life or universal. And that is going to be something that, depending on the strategy that you set up, you can have that until you die. Most people outlive their term policy. Only about 0.5% of term policies ever pay out.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, that's good to know. Good to know. Look, as women entrepreneurs, quite often business women in business working as W-2 employees, it doesn't matter across the board. We don't usually think about it because we're too busy thinking about other people and taking care of other people. And we're not taking care of ourselves for our future in this. And this is why, you know, reaching out to Holly, she has this great website. Wow. Her on YouTube, you can go to Women of Wealth. She gives you hints, tips, and ideas. Just think, wow, Women of Wealth. Wow. I need to talk to her, Women of Wealth. But, you know, go it. She, you know, she has, she's on Facebook, Instagram, she's on LinkedIn. I know that she's also offering a complimentary review of, you know, your things for preventative health care and retirement strategies. So you can take advantage of that as well if you reach out with Holly. You know, Holly, I want to, I'm grateful that you came on. I would say for you, give me an idea for women. You know, where, at what age should they start? I know young, but what, at what age? You're a businesswoman, you're an entrepreneur woman, your kids are growing up, and you finally decided that, oh my gosh, like I haven't planned for my future. Mm-hmm. What are a couple of things that they could do now moving forward to at least get started on the journey?
Yeah, start. If you can only start with $100 a month, start with $100 a month. But a good rule of thumb is if you're in your 20s, you're saving $200 a month, 30s, 300, 40s, 400. Now, if you start in your 30s, you got to catch up for your 20s. So then you want to save 200 for your 20s, 300 for your 30s, and so on. If you start when you're 45, you have to figure that into the equation. Yes, it's a big chunk of change, but what I always say is start with what you can. I mean, a lot of these, especially if you have a 401k at work, or you have, if you're self-employed or a business owner, you can do a self-employment plan. It's called a SEP IRA. You can do a simple IRA if you have a few employees. So the biggest thing is to contact somebody. What the feedback that I get from women usually is the reason why they don't do it is because somebody comes and meets with them and they just feel like they're buying things they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And my goal is to really make sure you understand what you have. And even if you don't remember it the first time around, the next year we'll meet again and we'll go over it until you really do understand it. Because that's what Women of Wealth is really about, is understanding what you have and how it's making you money and how it's going to protect you in the future. So that's my biggest thing, is to make sure you understand what you have and make sure you have multiple people that are on your team.
Yeah. And, you know, look, there's a max out cap every year for your 401k, but that doesn't mean you need to stop saving money and, you know, just, you know, saying, okay, I've reached my cap. Like there's other things that you can do, right?
Absolutely.
One of the things that you also work with is, you know, you've talked about it several times in here, is women with confidence, right?
Yeah.
And why having confidence is important. Can you share a little bit on that?
Yeah. So I think the biggest factor in whether a female entrepreneur is going to be successful or not is based on what they believe about themselves, their confidence level, right? I mean, Kimberly and I were talking about this before we started record, is, you know, a lot of people have that mindset, fake it till you make it. I had it too. And I'm just telling you that there's no room that you shouldn't be in. If you don't have the confidence to be in there, it's because you haven't been doing the things that create that confidence. So I want people to set goals, but I want them to be goal achievers, not goal setters. That's when you really get to building your confidence. I don't care if it's for the next 7 days, I'm going to wake up at 6 a.m. and I'm going to do, you know, 100 sit-ups and 10 push-ups. I don't know what it is for you, But whatever it is, keep your word to yourself for 7 days, and then for 14, and then for 21. And then after you've done that for 90 days, you'll have a new habit in place. And then you can add in something different. Or maybe now you're like, okay, I'm only going to eat, you know, I'm going to have XYZ for food for today. Keep a record of it and hold yourself accountable. That's how you get more confidence. In my opinion, confidence is the number one key. This is what I'm mentoring my new agents about all the time, is the level of confidence that they have.
I love that. And with that confidence, you learn how to set boundaries, create time management strategies, you know, find those benchmarks for those goals on what you, you know, I'm going to get there, but what are the key pieces along the way that know that I'm getting there? So I love that. That's one of the things I do love about you, is that no matter where I've seen you or who I've seen you talking with, is that you're helping them raise their confidence. And that's not just in them personally, but in your financial strategies, in your retirement strategies, in all the things. So I would, you know, anybody who's listening, I would say, take advantage of Holly's complimentary review, because what an opportunity to be in that space where somebody's going to lift you up, even when they're telling you you made a mistake.
Well, I mean,
you're not going to say it that way.
If you're saving money, you're not making a mistake. I'm going to say that right now. If you are actually making that habit of saving money every month, good for you. Now, what you may not have thought about is how much you actually need. So you may have just signed up for something, and that is totally fine. I never tell people that they're wrong about anything. I just show them how they can be possibly more beneficial for them, what could be more beneficial for them. Because if you're saving and you have that habit of saving, good for you. If you don't have the habit for saving, that's another thing you could do to build confidence. Start saving. Even if that's $50, $100 a month, just start somewhere, because then your flag is planted, and now you can figure out, okay, now I need to get to $300 or $400 a month. What could I cut? Could I only go to Starbucks once a week? Maybe that's a treat for me every Friday that I've kept my word to myself. Or maybe I just cut it out completely and just make coffee at home. I mean, if you make coffee at home for a month instead of buying I think they're $7 a piece now or more, then you're probably going to save yourself enough money to put into your retirement account $100 that month.
Absolutely. And you know, the other one that I've shared with some people in the past is, you don't have to look rich. Okay. True. Right. You don't have to look rich. All you have to do is look like you're a person building a business, right? Somebody who's working. You don't have to buy the fancy handbag. You don't have to buy the fancy shoes. Okay. Sometimes I do, but
I do it more as a treat, though, instead of like, okay, I hit this goal. I deserve to go and, you know, splurge on something. I hit this goal. Absolutely. I actually am usually very much about like buying new dresses for our conventions and whatnot. Yeah. What did I do this year? I borrowed. People borrow dresses from me all the time. I borrowed the dress that I wore to our awards night for our convention in February. I've gotten the most compliments on, and I didn't spend a penny for it.
Yeah. So there's strategies that we can look. You know,
like a million bucks
without having to spend $1 million to look like it.
Exactly.
Right? So if you can't afford the purse, then don't get the purse. Okay. Put the money in savings. That's the better strategy. And that's how you outdo your competition. I'm just saying.
Sure. I agree.
Let's go with some rapid fire questions. Okay. All right? Heels or sneakers?
Oof. Depends on the situation. I'll go with sneakers.
Sneakers because of the athlete of you, but heels for the femininity part, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it. Favorite day of the week and why?
Ooh, I love Thursdays because I know the weekend's coming, but I still have a little bit of work to get done.
Got it. You can wrap up those final things, huh?
Yes.
Okay, how about favorite power move before a big meeting?
Ooh. Well, I really have incorporated standing with in my superwoman pose with my hands on my hips.
Nice. Yeah. Get that superwoman on your hip power pose. Got it. Okay. And then what advice would you give to women today who might want to break into your industry and thrive?
Ooh, I would say that it is such a great time for women to break into the insurance and financial services industry. People are looking for you. It's gotten to a place where women really want to work with women. And so especially younger women, I'm on a quest to bring in more younger women into this business. You know, I would say the 25 to 40 year old age group, I want to teach and train them because there really is something to be said about women helping women. And this generation that's coming up, the millennials and then the Gen Zers, they all really have a lot of questions and they really want to work with women.
Yeah, I think that's huge to notice because you are in a male dominant space.
Very.
Yeah, it's a very male dominant space. And to have more women coming in, because the majority of your buyers, I know that my husband didn't care about life insurance until I said we need it, right? And so as women who are the buyers, I think that's a huge thing, is that we do want to talk to women. Because women understand each other, right?
Right.
So I think that is great.
I think it's the relationship part too, Kimberly. I don't think you want to give your money to somebody that's just going to sell your product. You want to understand what you're buying. You want to build that relationship. And I may talk to people 3 or 4 times before I even give them a solution.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I love that because I agree. It's the relationship you're building with the people and that builds the trust factor, which creates the sales.
Exactly.
So that's great. Look, I just want to thank Hollywood's Gray for joining us today. Look, she's given you some great tools to get you started. We could go on probably for hours talking about all of the things, but we want to keep this short for you and get you started. Make sure you take advantage of that. Go find her, Women of Wealth. Don't have a wow moment with her, right?
Absolutely.
And just know, like, some of the key takeaways she talked about is, look, you have to, build your confidence up, no matter what that is, right? And knowing your role, that plays that key place in building up that confidence. Keeping your word, when you say you're going to do something, keep that word with yourself. Like, that is huge and powerful because women have a tendency of breaking their own word so that they can help other people. And you have to help yourself first too. You know, they tell you that on the airplane, you got to put on your oxygen mask before you help somebody else. So yeah. So just know that, it really is important for you to keep your word with yourself, right? And set clear goals so that you can actually achieve them. Find what those benchmarks are so that you can actually achieve them, because it's not necessarily, we can all set goals till our faces turn blue, but it's when we actually achieve the goal that we build that confidence up and we become stronger as business women in our industry. So I really appreciated that from you today, Holly. And, if you have the opportunity to connect with Holly, like I said, on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, connect with her because she's an amazing woman. So Holly, Hawley, just so that we're clear on that, Woods Gray. And look, make sure that you share this with your friends. If this is a podcast, somebody who hasn't got their affairs in order, just share the podcast. Let us do the talking, right? Invite, people to join us. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, write a review, be happy to share about that, or maybe even talk about it in a future episode, and, share it with your friends. And our next episode, I'm going to be sharing on some key pieces for women, and you won't want to miss it. We're going to be talking about, fear detoxing, right? It goes right along with that. Confidence is, what keeps you from playing small? What are those things that pop up for you in fear? And we're going to talk about how can we detox that fear out of your life so that you can get more confidence. So I look forward to seeing you on our, hearing about your thoughts on our next podcast. Thank you for joining us today with Superheroes in Heels.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Thanks for tuning in to Superheroes in Heels with Kimberly Borgens. If you're walking away feeling a little braver, a little bolder, and a whole lot more powerful, mission accomplished. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review. It helps us to reach more women who are ready to unleash their power and lead with confidence. And if you do leave a review, you might just hear your name in an upcoming episode. If today's conversation lit a fire in you, share it with your network and join us inside the Hive Society at KimberlyBorgens.com, where powerful women gather to break barriers and rise together. Until next time, keep showing up, standing strong, and heels or not, keep embracing your inner superhero.